This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by Farrah.com. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. It's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So U.S. Attorney Brian Moran, he is based out here in Seattle. We talked yesterday about his decision to speak out against heroin injection sites. He said no. He said he told the Seattle City Attorney, Pete Holmes, no, do not move forward with safe injection sites. Ha ha ha, they're not safe. If you do, we will sue. I added, by the way, the ha 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 part. That was not a direct quote
from
Brian Moran.
He did not find it funny.
He did not, I mean, he might have found it funny, but I...
But not visibly funny.
Well, he might have also visibly. I wasn't there. I'm just saying I added the ha 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 part.
Gotcha.
That was not a direct quote. Now, as a result of him saying, do not do it, it's against the law, Seattle City Council member Teresa Mosqueda says, well, screw the law, we're going to do it anyway. She's quoted in Crosscut saying, quote, we need to meaningfully work toward opening these sites. If he, and she's speaking of Brian Moran, if he studies the issue, what he'll see is that research shows that this approach saves lives. I hope that this was just an initial reaction from him and that he'll actually read the studies. You know, studies say a lot of things, and you know what they say about this? You know what saves lives? And there's lots of studies to point this out. If you don't use heroin, you will not die from a heroin overdose. Is that not weird? I literally just learned that. I had to read a few studies, and I double-checked. I read multiple studies just to make sure. If you don't do heroin, hold on. I know. Believe me, I understand that it's weird, and it's a little counterintuitive. If you don't do heroin, you won't die of a heroin overdose.
You're just asking a lot of people, though. I mean, you're asking a lot.
But that's just, it's crazy, right? I wouldn't have thought that either. But apparently, that's what the data says. Now, what the data doesn't say as it relates to heroin injection sites, the data doesn't say that people who go to these sites actually get off heroin. It keeps them on heroin. You're enabling their addiction that is going to ultimately kill them. Now, Teresa Mosqueda doesn't care about that. She cares about keeping people comfortably addicted. Because it's too hard. It's so hard to get them off heroin. Treatment on demand, too hard. And by the way, that's legal and that's no fun. So Teresa Mosqueda, who was going to run for mayor, by the way, this is me, Jason Tells the Future, on April 5th at 4.07 p.m. So write that down, producer Tom. Teresa Mosqueda is going to run for mayor. And she wants to run for mayor as this hardcore progressive alternative to Mayor Jenny Durkan. Because the truth is, Mayor Jenny Durkan is not all that progressive. She's pretending to be. That's why she's so bad at it. But this is ridiculous. Because what I thought was funny, 2 weeks from today, when we had the Lake City shooting, Teresa Mosqueda, while bodies were still warm, she came out there and said, we need more gun laws. So she wants you to push forward more gun laws to stop gun violence, because those are laws that she likes. But when it comes to heroin and a statute that means you can't create these heroin dens, that would be illegal. It's against federal law. Those laws, you don't like them. We shouldn't follow them. Councilmember Lorena Gonzalez, who's a lawyer, doesn't want us following the law. She says the reality is we oftentimes at the city of Seattle push on innovative, progressive, cutting-edge policies, and I don't think this one is an exception. It is an exception because it's not cutting edge. It's not innovative. Giving people a space to shoot up is not innovative. We already have that right now. That's part of the reason why we've got problems with opioid abuse. People have space right now to shoot up. And of course, what's not said in all of this, Lorena Gonzalez and Teresa Mosqueda, what's not said is that by further legalizing heroin, they're making it so that we're less safe on the streets, you and me, that our property is going to be less safe. Because let's be clear. The people who are dealing with this, the ones who will show up, are mostly homeless. They do not have jobs. How are they buying the heroin? They're breaking into homes. They're breaking into cars. They're breaking into businesses. They're stealing stuff. They're selling it and then using the profit to buy heroin. This does not change that. This makes it worse. Mayor Durkan yesterday told our sister station, Aaron Granillo over at Car Radio, that she's disappointed in the comments from Brian Moran.
But I also take their threat very seriously. We have to take it seriously. So I'll be talking to council and community to see what the next path forward is.
I know the next path forward. You think she would get mad if I offered it to her? It's just, I know the next path forward. It's really simple. don't go down the path of trying to legalize heroin. That's it. That's the path forward. The path forward is turning around.
You're asking a lot of her. You're just asking a lot of people.
I know. Look, I'm just crazy. I know. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to text me on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in King County?
So to tackle mail theft, the Tukwila Police Department say they're giving you discounted security mailboxes. Now, it's going to certain people. You have to be in a neighborhood that doesn't have a personal mailbox, but one of those joint mailboxes. They're doing this because mail theft is on the rise. And we oftentimes don't think too much about mail theft because we're focused on cyber security issues, people hacking into our bank accounts and getting information that way. But the truth is, a lot of people are still just stealing things from the mail. Tukwila PD posted something on their Facebook page that said, although mail theft may seem quite tame at first glance, the majority of known ID theft is perpetuated via low-tech methods. Stolen wallets, stolen trash, and stolen mail. Mail theft is a common way that identity thieves can steal your identity. Career crooks make a stable living, like from snatching letters, bills, and junk mail. Mail theft is highly underreported because most people don't realize they've been victimized. This has happened to me multiple times. I've been the victim of mail theft 4 times at least. And the first time it happened, it was a total pain in the butt because they stole checks that I had in the mail that I was putting out because, like most people, I don't have any. At the time, I didn't have a specialty mailbox that was secure like this one, because this is a hardcore secure. I mean, this is a $108 mailbox. And to be fair, I don't know how much mailboxes cost, but the discount is $108. It's one of those ones you need a key, a master key to get into. It's sturdy. You can't just break it open.
What are the low-tech ways people are using? Are they going the old pickup truck, you know, baseball bat method? Or
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
You know, mailbox smashing?
No, they just open the mailbox and they take the mail out. Most mail is not secure when we're talking about homes in the suburbs. Oh. Don't confuse mailboxes in like apartment complexes. We're talking about the mailbox at the front of the driveway. You just open, you put mail in, and people just steal it. And for me, they stole it and they went to Walmart of all places with my stolen checks. But it took a lot.
Cheap.
Cheaper alternative than Target. It was weird. And then the last time I had someone steal my credit card information, they went on Amazon. They bought something for like $48. They're not even going all in. Maybe they do that because they don't want to set off alarm bells or red flags. Because maybe you might not notice smaller amounts of money getting deducted from your account. In any case, I like this. But here's the deal. What's being done exactly to target the actual bad guys? I totally accept this notion that we need to change our own behavior just for our own good, because we're not going to just inherently be able to change the behavior of the bad guys who do this. But Tukwila is one of those cities that doesn't really get a lot of attention, except when there's a story out of the top 10 cities dealing with crime. And Tukwila is always on the list. They have a disproportionately high number of these types of crimes that happen in a city of that size. Because it's not a big, Tukwila is not a densely populated city in a traditional sense. And you would think that, oh no, Seattle or Tacoma or Bellevue would be at the top of these lists, or you know, Spokane, Tri-State. No, it's usually Tukwila. It's kind of weird because I never look at Tukwila as this place where there's rampant crime. Now, to be fair, I'm not in Tukwila all that often, but I'm in it enough to at least get the general vibe, and I never get that vibe. Same thing with Burien. There's a high amount of crime, Kent, large amount of crime, Federal Way, large amount of crime. But I never really feel it, so I never quite understand it. And it would appear that this is the type of crime that we're talking about. So what exactly is being done to go after those guys? Or women? Because women do it too. They're bad.
What if the high-tech mailboxes have little cameras? Or at least one camera per set of mail. Maybe they could just clump them all together.
Yeah, but that's
for the
really
neighborhood.
Expensive.
But these can't be. I mean, already they seem expensive. I mean, what is
$108. Is that expensive? I don't know.
For a mail, I've never bought a mailbox before.
I don't know anyone who's bought them. In fact, someone sent me a text. It's $108 because that Cairo 7 TV says that's the discounted price. I don't know what the original value is. I'm thinking maybe $150, maybe double that, or maybe $200. How much is a mailbox? 1-800-465-87. Is that a weird question to ask?
We got
to
know.
I am kind of curious. Now, to be fair, I do have a producer who's capable of using Google. And he's chose, for whatever reason, not to do that. I've got the Google right in front of me now, and I'm choosing not to do that.
So it's up to the listener.
So it's I'm not lifting a finger. 1-800-465-8770. How much does a mailbox cost?
1-800. It's just one of those fun fact things.
I guess. 1-800. I mean, it's not that fun. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send us a text on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. So we did just get a text. The last locking mailbox that I purchased was about $120. I did just go on Amazon, and I found one that's a little bit smaller than the one offered by the Tukwila PD. That's $97.98. And that's not with a discount. So it seems like they can maybe do a little bit better. But then I found a slightly bigger one that is kind of similar to the one that Tukwila is offering for $239. So that's a nice discount.
Let's see if capitalism kicks in and people start offering them for less. And then everyone in Tukwila is just looking for the best deal on mailboxes.
That's fine. You're listening to the Jason Rant Show. Let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Foodie edition.
Hey, look at that. It's Friday at 4:15. We have been inspired, I suppose, by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez telling us not to eat burgers because it's bad for the environment. And that got producer Tom wondering, hey, I like burgers. What's the best burger joint in all of Seattle?
Maybe we shouldn't be eating a hamburger for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Tom Amato here, and I'm delivering on a promise. You guys wanted this burger, so you guys got it. Does Red Robin have the best burger in the city of Seattle? They have two locations in the Northgate Mall and on the waterfront. I ordered the Whiskey River Barbecue Burger. This is another 60-second burger review brought to you by the Jason Rantz Show. Pink or no pink? That's what they'll ask you. I said pink and the burger came medium rare. For that temperature, I was surprised at how dry the burger came. The whole burger, brace for it, over 1,100 calories. It comes with Whiskey River barbecue sauce, cheddar cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, mayo, and crispy onion straws, which means they're the stringy kind. The burger is charred on the surface, which if you've listened before, you know I love. The cheese is not melted on. It sat as a square on the top of the burger. I'm not putting much weight into that, but for some reason I thought that was odd. They put a lot of mayonnaise on, which is fine, but they went way too light on the barbecue sauce. It wasn't messy, which for the most part is a plus, but I felt they were frugal with one of the most important parts of flavor. It all comes on a sesame seed bun, which is fresh and sturdy. It'll cost you $11.99 for a single patty, which is more than enough to make you full. Of course, also included in that price are the fries, which are bottomless. I mix in a few through the course of my consumption. Overall, it's a Red Robin burger, so you know it'll be good. The meat is cooked, vegetables are fresh, and the onions add a kick. Honestly, I'm just a little bit of juice and much more barbecue sauce away from giving it a better score. I'll give the Whiskey River Barbecue Burger a 7 out of 10. What do you think of their burger? Where should I go next? Tweet me, at New Producer Tom. This has been another 60-second burger review brought to you by the Jason Rantz Show.
So there you go. Producer Tom and his burger obsession.
That one particularly rocked.
I don't like Red Robin. I don't like Red Robin. I want to.
Wait. You don't like it or it doesn't live up to the expectations? Those are different.
I don't like it.
Really?
I went and I didn't like it. I've gone twice and I haven't really liked it. And I think it's because it's one of those places that is kind of, it's too fast casual. And I generally don't like fast casual.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say they don't like it. I've heard people say it doesn't live up to the hype, but just don't like
it. I say a lot of things that are first. If you have a recommendation for a burger, not only can you send him on Twitter, New Producer Tom, but you can also send us a tweet, or excuse me, a text, 1-800-465-8770. What's the next place that we're going to send Producer Tom? At some point, he's going to actually explore burgers outside of the city of Seattle, since you do live in Auburn and you do have weekends, and we don't like to send you during the day to go eat burgers that we pay for. So why don't you go spend it on your own time?
Yeah, but then I have to spend it on my own time.
Yeah, why don't you go spend it on your own time?
That's not as attractive.
To you. 1-800-465-877. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in the media?
So a recent survey showed kids as young as second graders didn't know much about some just basic civics. The Annenberg Constitution Day Civic Survey said only 32% of those surveyed were able to name all three branches of the federal government. That actually represented a 6% increase from the previous year. And it's not just kids. Producer Tom can't name all three branches of the federal government. I can get maybe 2.5. An even higher portion of those surveyed, 33%, couldn't even name a single branch of the federal government. Even Tom can do that. So that means kids are really dumb. Daily Wire's Josh Hammer, he's been on the show before, friend of the show, good dude. He was on Fox News and Fox and Friends. And he said the structure that protects rights is what is so incredibly important. And we need to start teaching these kids much younger than we actually start.
What famously makes America great is actually not the Bill of Rights. Justice Antonin Scalia, the conservative icon in the court for decades, was fond of saying how every tin pot dictator could have a Bill of Rights. And sure enough, the Stalinist Constitution in the Soviet Union in 1936 purported to have a Bill of Rights. But as Scalia said, it's actually structure that dictates destiny. And insofar as we're not even naming this the three branches of government, it is a separation of powers, those three branches, that secure liberty by diffusing power. It is our federalist sister of dual spheres of sovereignty between the states and federal government that secure power. So we need to start by just identifying this problem, talking about why constitutional structure is so important in contradistinction to Bill of Rights.
But see, that's a nuance. That's a nuance. And it's a nuance that I think some adults probably have a little bit difficulty learning. But what if we started teaching kids this nuance so much earlier than we do right now?
Yeah, it's way too late. I mean, we have these mini Robespierres who come on college campus these days. I mean, they're wreaking all sorts of havoc. They're trying to shut down free speech. My boss at the Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro, faces this pretty much every time he speaks on a college campus. We saw what happened at Berkeley a year and a half ago with Ben and his security team having to pay $500,000 or even more than that just so he could give a freaking speech. So this really is a problem that it needs to start way, way earlier than that. And I think second grade is totally appropriate.
Well,
totally appropriate.
And so here's the question I have, because I totally agree with Josh's point that teach civics, teach some basics about this government and freedom and the government system that we have in place that guarantees our freedom. Teach that as early as humanly possible. I don't know if that's going to be enough to stop some of the propaganda that these kids are falling for. Because remember, you've got now, right now, let's say you have in second grade, you start teaching this stuff. It's still going to be taught by some of the same teachers who are so indoctrinated on leftist ideologies, right? And so you can have these in college right now, you've got a bunch of professors that generally do not like our system of governance. They can appreciate some aspects of it, but it is usually fueled by a very far to the left position, a leftist position. And as a result of that, they are teaching these kids this leftist position without the kids sometimes even realizing it. So if we start earlier, aren't we just making the problem shift from the college to the elementary school? Meaning we're still going to have a lot of teachers who are going to indoctrinate with liberal or leftist propaganda these young kids? And isn't that arguably more dangerous? Isn't it more dangerous as a second grader to start getting a leftist view on America and on our government? Because I'm of two minds on this issue. History is so incredibly important, and kids who properly understand our freedoms, to Josh's point, won't show up on a college campus and try to stifle speech from being uttered, speech that they just happen to dislike. They wouldn't need to go to Wazoo and go through de-escalation training because they can't understand how they're supposed to survive on a campus that actually listens to the other side. So I get it, but aren't we just compounding the problem? Aren't we just making it worse? That's a concern I have. You can send me your text on this. I'd be curious to find out. 1-800-465-8770. Wouldn't this make the problem worse? 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. It's an better tax resolution hotline if you want to send me a note. Don't forget, 5 o'clock, we have the Fox News Town Hall special with Howard Schultz. He wants to become the next president of the United States, and he needs the support of conservatives. So Brett Baer and Martha McCullum are going to put him through the ringer, asking him some tough questions to see if he can actually get conservatives interested in his campaign. We're going to air that in just a little bit over 30 minutes. If you don't have the app, you should download the app, and you can listen to it. You stream the entire thing, get an alert once the actual event starts. Text the keyword app to 1-800-465-8770 right now.
Kent, Olympia, Everett, Sammamish.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Sumner, Woodinville, Des Moines.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show. It's 4:30. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Sean Keller Smiles by Design. The concept of the Big Local, really, really simple. The news media outlets out here, they're hyper-focused on the city of Seattle. And they end up ignoring a lot of stories where you live. So we do the opposite. We're hyper-focused on you. And we completely ignore the city of Seattle. And we start this afternoon at SeaTac Airport. Because today is the busiest of the busy days at SeaTac, thanks to spring break. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, it's spring break. Let's go to the beach. Let's go to Florida and Mexico. Let's go Cancun. 62,000 people are expected to be screened with the highest usage during the time that is right now up until about 5-ish o'clock. Everyone, especially on a Friday, they leave a little bit early out of work. Maybe they take today off completely. And they get a head start on the spring break time. 60,000 people are expected to go through security checkpoints as spring break continues. Because when you got 62,000 people leaving, they also come back. Now, if you're looking to avoid the rush, the busiest days, apparently, except today, obviously, are projected to be Thursday of next week and Friday of next week. As well as then Sunday and Monday for the next month. Oy. And most of these are frat guys and sorority girls complaining about tan lines and hookups that didn't go their way. And then on top, why are you squinting your eyes? That's what they do. That's what the kids talk about. Wait, yeah. Oh my God. I met this guy on Tinder, and he said he was 22, but it turns out he was 13. That sometimes happens.
If I had a nickel, man.
They wouldn't even let him into the bar. And that was really weird. So then we went to Chuck E. Cheese's. And then you're like, wait, you still went out with him?
Yeah,
you continue. Well, it's rude. You don't just leave. I don't want to scar him. Plus, the pizza there was kind of good.
And I really liked his hair.
Don't do the voice.
I like the voice.
Yeah, don't do the voice. No, it's only good if I do it. So just be aware that that's what's going on. And by the way, SeaTac right now is already awful. Right, it's just already awful because of all of the construction that they're doing. There's no places to sit. There's no places to plug in your phone. And so now you're just throwing all these extra kids there. It's just awful. Go to Painfield. Saul Spady is on vacation. Well, he's in L.A. for some meetings. And he left yesterday, and we're Instagram buddies because we're BFFs. And he videoed an entire review of Payne Field out in Everett. It's so gorgeous, and it looks like a really classy lounge in a high-end spa that meets with a hotel, if you know what I mean. Like, it's so nice, and it was almost completely empty. And then you go to SeaTac, it's like the equivalent of going to a Five Seasons hotel or the Four Seasons hotel versus like Motel 6. Like, that's how bad it is. That's the difference between SeaTac and Painfield. So, Godspeed for all of you people who have to go to SeaTac. Meanwhile, the pretend black woman, Rachel Dolezal, out in Spokane, she isn't going to get jail for the welfare fraud that we've been talking about over the course of the last year. She allegedly failed to report tens of thousands of dollars, $84,000 actually in total, while collecting government subsidies from the state. They entered into an agreement where she gets to avoid jail time and a court case. But she's agreed to repay the money and then do 120 hours of community service. Their attorney for Rachel Dolezal, Bevin Maxey, said, "I think that this is a fair resolution of the case. I don't think it was Miss Diallo's, because that's her new name, intent to defraud anyone. I think this will allow her to move forward in her life." Okay, let's be clear. I think she meant to defraud. I think she 100% meant to defraud. However, I'm okay with her not going to jail for this because she's paying the money back. This whole idea of stealing money from the state and then putting that person in jail for it, when you do that, you don't get the money back. If anything, you end up spending more money wasted on someone who owes you money. So I don't like that idea. I like the idea of working, paying off the money, not going into jail. I'm generally okay with this, especially because no one got hurt, right? No one physically got hurt. People's minds were blown a little bit. And I feel bad for her because I think there's legitimately something wrong with her mentally. Like, I'm not a doctor, obviously, but I have Men's Health magazine, so I'm almost an expert on this stuff. I've interviewed her before when her book came out. I don't get the sense that she's faking this. I think she legitimately believes that she's African American because of her connection to the culture, her appreciation of the culture. It is basically a victimless crime, that in and of itself. It's weird and it's delusional, but there's no victim really other than the kids and all of this, because I feel bad for them. But there's something mentally wrong with her, I think. And I don't need to throw someone like that in jail. I feel bad. If she's going to spend the money to earn the money to pay us back, okay. I think this is fine. Now, maybe I'm in the minority on this. Pardon the pun in this conversation. 1-800-465-877 if you think I'm crazy. I think she's crazy. And no, she's not paying the full amount because they are realizing that it would cost them. We just got a text that they're not paying the full. Yes, that is true. It's because they are saving the money that they would end up spending going to trial. I'm okay with some version of this. Again, I'm generally okay with this settlement. It saves us all a lot of time and energy and, yes, money dealing with her. And I just feel bad, and I'd rather her just go on with her life and we never have to talk about her again. And I'm not calling her by her new fake name because it feeds into that delusion. But I did feel bad for her. Finally, neighbors in Spanaway tell Cairo 7 TV that they are dealing with a messy and really, really annoying situation on their street where every single month they become the victims of illegal dumping on a road that runs through their neighborhood. Someone is driving a pickup truck while throwing trash from the back of their truck. Brandy Heisler tells Cairo 7 TV that the problems have been going on for a really long time now.
Dump trucks have come and tried to dump their entire load back here, which is just crazy. 5 to 7 times a month. Chairs, drywall material, tables. We're fortunate enough to be on a right-of-way, so the county does come and pick up our stuff.
And she says, hey, I've reported it, but it's kind of hard for cops to do anything because these folks are not easy to catch.
If you don't have a license plate, their hands are a bit tied. Oh, so many waves of emotion throughout the 12 years. It goes from fury to let's get them to I can't do anything.
Okay, I feel for her. Pierce County said property and homeowners are responsible for cleaning up illegal dumps on private roads and property, but they should still call them when something like this happens. And kudos to them, because it does sound like they're at least helping clean this mess up, and it seems ridiculous to me that it's up to the property owners if someone else is illegally dumping stuff on their streets. Can they not do a stakeout? I'm trying to figure out why someone would do this. It's clearly intentional that they're getting rid of the trash that way. So there's only a few options. Number one, they're doing this because they're mad at these homeowners for whatever reason, and they're just throwing their trash on their streets, right? That could be one of them. Or maybe they don't want to have to pay to take the trash to the dump, but you're already putting it in your the back of your car. What could be the reason why someone might do this? What's a legitimate reason for someone to do this? I have to assume it's because they just don't like maybe one or two of the families on this block. That it's personal.
It's got to be the financial reason. Yeah, I mean,
but why this specific block? What if it's her?
Away from the police?
No. What if she's Kaiser Soze? It's her all along.
So she just...
She's the one doing... I'm kidding, of course. Okay. No, but she's not blowing the whistles.
That was metaphorically speaking. What she's not actually blowing a whistle. I understand that.
I know what a metaphor is. Right. I got it. Why would someone do this? I guarantee you, I know you think that there's some financial thing here, but you're doing it in the middle of the night, right? So you don't want to get caught.
Right.
Although, to be fair, actually, the story said sometimes it was happening in the middle of the day. I think it's someone nearby who doesn't like one or all of the families on this block. You know, Brandy here in this clip, she's the victim, right? That's how Cairo 7 TV approaches it, right? She's the victim. What if she's not? What if she's just a bad person? Isn't that possible?
I like to
explore all angles to stories.
But this is obviously a spot that's away from police because they've been doing it for 10 years.
So we got a text at 1-800-465-8770 that's falling into your camp. They say it's because the dump will only take certain things. It won't take it won't take drywall and other stuff. But they're just dumping regular trash, right? This is not like specialty items that's especially difficult to get rid of. This is regular stuff, it seems like. At least from the photos that I
Probably
saw.
Just lazy.
And you just heard her talk about like tables and stuff like that. You can put that in a dump.
They're probably just lazy. They don't want to pay the dump fees. I mean,
but they're not that lazy because they're loading it into their truck. Because the reason if someone's lazy, you just leave it and you just hoard, right? If you're truly lazy.
Well, they don't want that. I mean, they are to a degree lazy. They can load it.
I'm going with they just hate someone. They just hate someone. That's what's going on. I'm willing to bet they're going to catch this guy, and it's going to be a guy who's missing his front tooth. That's just my guess. I'm just going with that. And he's going to have mutton chops.
Okay. Does he have an eye patch as well? I mean,
no.
Is his name Harry? What's going on?
What do you know the guy?
You're just making assumptions, so I'm just asking if you're also making other assumptions.
No, he's a Dolphins fan, too.
Okay.
When they catch him, the MLB
team or the NFL team?
The NBA Dolphins.
Okay.
He's just going to wear a Dolphins jersey that's three sizes too big for him because he bought it at a Goodwill. That's my guess.
What's his name?
Well, I can't tell you his name. I don't want the cops just to go ahead and hassle a bunch of people.
How could I be so silly?
Frank. His name is Frank. Want to bet?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen.
Let's bet.
I bet you I'm right. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show. We're live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Don't forget, about 10 minutes from now, Fox News takes over with a town hall event with Howard Schultz. He is trying to become the next president of the United States. He needs conservative support. He's a local guy, so we're going to give him an opportunity to answer some tough questions from Brett Baer and Martha McCullum. So stick around for that. 5 o'clock, we're going to have the town hall event with Howard Schultz. Before that, let's talk about another guy who's running for president, although he hasn't yet announced. In fact, Vice President Joe Biden is still dealing with the fallout from a handful of women saying that they felt uncomfortable around him because he is a close talker. He invades private space. He's someone who's touchy-feely, literally touches people. One woman who happens to be a Bernie Sanders supporter said he smelled her hair and kissed her on top of her head. Now, Joe Biden has come out and said, okay, I'm not doing this with any sexual intent. Right now, we're going through a time where there is a change in the culture about these kinds of interactions. That's changed, so am I. I, too, will change. But one thing that will not change, he jokes about it. And in a lot of ways, his response here is very similar to what Trump, I think, would probably do. It's very Trumpian. He was doing a speech at the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers today, and he joked about it not once but twice.
You know, as they say in parts of my old neighborhood in Scranton, you guys brung me to the dance.
Brung you to the
and
dance.
You really did.
And, small town needs better
brand. I just want you to know I had permission to hug Lonnie. I mean, you had permission.
Okay, so he's trying to have fun with it, and that certainly is going to offend people who are hypersensitive. It doesn't offend me at all. The weird part was he has also been known to get touchy-feely with kids, and again, there's no sexual intent. I think that's pretty clear. The people who are calling it creepy, I think, are going a little bit overboard because of their personal politics. And look, I don't like Biden politically. I'm just not going to treat him unfairly. I'm not going to pretend that he is molesting kids because he hugs them or touches them on their shoulders. It always looks like a grandpa talking to his grandkids. Oh, but they're not his grandkids. Yeah, I get it. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just not going to make this huge leap that it's a sexual assault or a molestation. But he did end up doing a joke, the same joke, with kids, which that probably is a mistake.
Hey, all those kids, you want to come up on the stage? You can come up. It's okay. Come on up.
No, I don't want to.
Come on up.
No, stop. Leave me alone. Mommy, don't make me do it.
Any kids can come up. So, how are you doing?
I'm bored.
What's your name?
Stop touching me.
Jocelyn.
No, don't touch me then. I didn't ask for a hug. Mommy, why'd you put me up on stage?
By the way, guys, nothing artificial about.
I'm a Republican.
If we don't win, if you don't win.
MAGA.
You got a problem. If you win, we win,
want you to lose.
Their future. Right, you realize
make America great again.
54% of the American people think their children will never reach the standard of living they've reached. That's never happened before. 54%.
I hate my mom.
And you guys can sit at the edge of what if
can I go home?
I don't want you to have to stand all along, but it's
get your arm off of me.
By the way, he gave me permission to touch him.
No, I didn't. The kid was kind of adorable, and he was kind of having fun.
And, but are you sure he's a Republican? Is he registered Republican?
I think he was. He had a MAGA hat on, didn't he?
No, I didn't see.
Oh, maybe I was looking at a Photoshopped image. So after the event, he goes ahead and talks to reporters and said, hey, I'm not going to be shocked if someone else comes forward because, hey, I never intended to do it, but this is just who I am. This is how I've acted.
You expect a lot more people.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, but I've had hundreds and hundreds of people contact me and who I don't know and, you know, say the exact opposite.
Mommy, look, can I go home yet?
It is.
Why are you taking me to this gaggle?
It is important that I and everyone else is aware that any woman or man who feels uncomfortable should have the right to just say, hey, I was uncomfortable with that.
I will say this. I haven't heard any men say this about Joe Biden, which is kind of interesting.
Or hopefully we'll get to the point even before any have to say, I'm uncomfortable with that. No matter what. And I really do understand it. But it's, you know, one of the things that, like, for example, what made
spit
me
it say, out, man.
I wasn't joking. The President of the Union put his arms around me. Well, that's how it's always been in covered me a long time. You know, that's how people react.
Okay. I mean, he's not incorrect that was at that time. But it's not that time anymore. So, you know, just stop it. This is a contrived controversy that's being pushed by his political opponents in the Democratic Party. Let's just be clear about that. Thank you so much for listening to a truncated version of the Jason Rant Show. Hope everyone has a wonderful weekend. I know I won't, but so I want you to at least. Coming up next, Howard Schultz in a town hall event with Fox News. If you don't have the app, text the keyword app to 1-800-465-8770. You've been listening to The Jason Rant Show.
Stop touching me.